Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with David Paulison, Undersecretary of Federal Emergency Management and Director of the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Also joining us in our conversation is Paul Hempstead, Director in IBM's Homeland Security Practice. David, what are some of the higher organizational priorities for fiscal year 2007?
What we've been focusing on is taking those lessons learned from Katrina. We took those reports very seriously. We had quite a few of them, GAO, General Accounting Office. We had the Inspector General's Office. Congress came out with a report. The White House came out with a report. Plus all of those things that we, quite frankly, saw ourselves that simply did not work in Katrina. If I can focus on a couple of those, the primary failure that I saw was communications. It wasn't just equipment, although there were some equipment issues, but not having a good, solid system in place to share information. There was a major breakdown in communications between the local community and the state, a major breakdown between the state of Louisiana and ourselves, and very honestly, a major breakdown inside the federal government itself. Communication between FEMA and Department of Homeland Security was not what it should have been. FEMA had not embedded itself into side of the Homeland Security. It was more of a rogue satellite. So that communication breakdown was there also. We've been working for the last several months putting a system together, a communication system. But quite frankly, the first responders in this country have been using for 30 years of having a unified command system where you're sharing information, you're working out of the same place, either actually or virtually, and having a system in place to be able to share that information, regardless of where that information comes in, whether it comes in from the first responder in the field or it comes in from a senator calling the president. That information should be able to be shared up and down the chain and horizontally across the system. We have the system in place now, and it worked very, very well in Ernesto. We had a hurricane that was supposed to have gone into Texas, and it was Louisiana, the Mississippi, and Alabama, and Florida, ended up going to North Carolina. And we had all those states on our communication system, sharing that information back and forth. We had NORTHCOM on there. We had the National Guard, Red Cross, and that system worked extremely well. So I'm very, very pleased with how that worked.
On this theme of communications, could you describe the plans to revamp FEMA's digital alert system to help provide better warning systems across the U.S.?
Yeah, a different type of a system. What we want to do is to be able to have a system in this country that is multi-focused, where it's not just one particular item. We want to be able to notify people if there's a disaster or a need to notify people for any particular reason, either through your cell phone, through your pager, your BlackBerry, television set, your radio, even still using the old outside warning system. We don't want to depend on any one particular thing. So we are working with the digital alert system, working with preparedness inside Homeland Security to put a system together that we're going to be able to do this. We have to be able to do this because of our no-notice events that we know we're going to have.
You mentioned communications and how important it is to you. You also mentioned the digital alert system. What other types of technologies and processes have been put in place to increase FEMA's communication ability during the immediate response phase of a disaster?
One of the other big failures in communications was not having a visibility in what was happening on the ground. We call it situational awareness. There was not a system in place to do that. FEMA and Homeland Security have put together several what we call reconnaissance teams that we will pre-deploy prior to a storm making landfall. And they'll have satellite cell phone equipment, also satellite video equipment, so we can see real-time what's going on. FEMA and Homeland Security should have known what was happening at the Superdome. We should have known what was happening at the convention center. And we should have known what was happening to the levees real time. And we did not do that. We were dependent more on CNN and Fox and other news media, the radio, to feed us that information. We now have the capability to do this ourselves. Now, we still will depend on the news media. There's a partnership there, a symbiotic relationship that has to exist. And so we have to share that information back and forth. But now we have the capability of seeing those types of things real time. That allows us to move equipment, people, and supplies in much more quickly than we did in the past.
Well, now that you mentioned supplies, how has FEMA improved its logistics and commodity management to more efficiently and quickly supply state and local authorities with needed supplies.
And that was the second biggest failure that I saw. Logistics is having the right things at the right place at the right time, and we did not do that very well. So we've done a couple things. One, we have in some cases quadrupled the amount of supplies that we had during Katrina. And I'll give you one example. MREs or meals ready to eat. We had 160 tractor trailer loads of MREs prior to Hurricane Katrina. And now we have over 770 tractor trailer loads of MREs. On top of that, we have signed a memorandum of understanding with the Defense Logistics Agency, which is the logistics arm of the U.S. Army, in fact, of all of the Department of Defense. They are our backup. They'll be moving supplies into our warehouses as we're moving them out. But probably as importantly as that is the ability to track those supplies. FEMA did not have a system in place to be able to track its supplies once it left the warehouse. We had tractor trailers that got lost. We had tractor trailers that just went home for the weekend. We had tractor trailers that went to the wrong place, and we had no mechanism to change their route once they got on the road. We've purchased 20,000 GPS units, satellite tracking system units, where we can literally stick them right on the truck and follow that truck right down to the very street corner of where that truck is. And that gives us the opportunity to tell the state where their supplies are and when they're going to arrive. It's a tremendous business tool for us, a tremendous business tool for the states to have be able to tell exactly where those water trucks are, where the food trucks are, where the ice trucks are, where our blue tarps, where our medicines, and we can track those real time now.
GPS is one technology. Have you also employed radio frequency identification or RFID?
We have not, and that'll be our next phase. We put the GPS system in place first. That was the easiest to track those to the entire truck. What we can't track is the individual commodities once they're unloaded off the truck. So the RFID type of things will be the next phase to go into. What we do, FEMA's job is to deliver the supplies to the state. It's up to the state to distribute those supplies down to the end user. Sometimes there's a breakdown there. So we're looking at working with the states on how we can better make that system work much more smoothly, much more agilely.
David, you mentioned the part of the role and responsibility of states, the part of the role and responsibilities of FEMA with respect to these supplies. Is there also a role for the providers, the private sector, in provisioning those supplies also?
One of the things that we have not done well in the past is partnering with the private sector, and we are looking at that very closely on how we can do that. There is a lot of expertise out there, a lot of supplies out there, a lot of business tools that we have not tapped into that we need to start doing. So we've been talking to and working with a lot of the big suppliers, the Walmarts, the Home Depots, Lowe's, all those other big suppliers, and how they provide transportation, how they do distribution, and also how we can plug them into our system to fill in those gaps that we simply can't meet.
Among other things, in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina was the issue around debris removal. And certainly there's been a fair amount of scrutiny around that process. What has FEMA done to streamline the removal of debris from the disaster, and how has it become more flexible?
Debris removal has been a thorn in all of our sides probably before the inception of FEMA. How do you deal with the massive amount of debris you have, and what do you do with it, and what's the most efficient way to get it off the street to get your community back up and running again? One of the issues with debris removal was the way we reimbursed local communities in the past. When the president approves a declaration for a disaster, there is a cost share involved in that. It could be 75% federal government, 25% local, or it could be a 90-10 split, or it could be 100% all entirely federal government. With the Corps of Engineers, which is our primary debris removal agency, if a local community used the Corps, we always reimburse them at 100%. If they use their own contractor, which sometimes may be more efficient, we did the cost share. So there was no incentive for local communities to go out and have contracts in place ahead of time. So we've done away with that. We're going to pay the same whether you use a Corps or whether you use your local contractor. And what we're encouraging communities to do is to go out and pre-register and have contracts in place ahead of time. We've put a debris registry system in place and listed those contractors on our website. I think we have over 300 now. that allows local communities to go out and have those contracts in place ahead of time. So as soon as the winds die down, either the Corps can come in and start working or they can have their own contractors. That gives the cities and the states much more flexibility in getting this debris off the street and getting the community back up and running again.
I would imagine you work very closely with the Environmental Protection Agency or the EPA around some of these issues of various items and where and how they're disposed of.
Yeah, EPA has to be involved, particularly when you're talking about moving stuff in the landfills. I know during Hurricane Andrew, we took 30 years off of our landfill by the amount of debris. So we want to make sure we're putting the right debris in there, making sure those landfills last as long as we possibly can, and putting the right type of debris in the right type of landfill.
That's incredible. 30 years, that's quite a bit for a landfill.
It's a significant hit on any type you have a disaster. You know, with these landfills only have a certain life expectancy, and when you take 20 or 30 years off of them with one storm, that has a significant impact on the community.
Great. What are some of FEMA's key managerial enhancements? We will ask Undersecretary of Federal Emergency Management and Director of FEMA, David Paulison, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.